Bobby Bones, post-show, pre-show.
After we got off the air, Eddie said that Eddie Money had died. Do you know who Eddie Money is?
Mm-mm. I mean, I'm sure I do if y'all tell me.
Play Eddie Money. No, some saxophone in his songs.
Oh, yeah. The sound of the 80s,
whoa,
baby.
Whoa, whoa. Whoa. Yeah, the 70s and 80s singer Eddie Money died at 70 years old from cancer complications. This one would be Take Me Home Tonight.
Take me home tonight.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
I don't want
it. You got it.
Yeah.
That's this one, right, Ray? No, maybe this.
Yep.
And be my little baby.
Be my little baby.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one.
Eddie Money.
Oh, that's this one.
Oh, that's this one?
Because it goes,
oh.
Take me home tonight. I don't want to let your heart see. Whatever. And then at the end it goes, be my little baby.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Take me home to... Oh.
Two tickets to paradise.
Oh, that's a jam, too. Do you have two tickets to paradise? Give me two
tickets. Listen to that.
Yeah, it's a good one, too. He had a big run on a big episode of King of Queens.
Did he?
Where Kevin James had won a bunch of money in a boxing match, and he couldn't tell his wife because he wasn't supposed to be gambling on it. So he had to spend it all in a day. And so one of them was... He hired Eddie Money to come play at his house.
That's how he spent it.
Yeah. Yeah, funny, huh?
Oh, wow.
For love. Yeah, turn up a little bit. Waiting for love. Waiting for this is Take Me Home Tonight, right?
Yeah. No, no, this is Two Tickets to Paradise.
Oh, is it? Oh, wow. Very similar.
Here you go.
Verse. Yeah, another verse.
Another verse.
Double verse.
I should have known
verse.
That.
Yeah, Two Tickets to Paradise. Yeah, Eddie Money died. What did he do? The money is spent on fancy dining, expensive cars, and the living room performance by Eddie Money in King of Queens. You can turn it up a little bit. It's coming to the chorus now.
Yeah.
Yeah, rest in peace, Eddie Money.
All right, here it comes.
Everybody, break it down.
I've got two tickets to paradise. Come get back for me tonight. Tickets to paradise.
One of the first songs that I ever introduced on the radio when I was 12 or 13 years old was an Eddie Money song.
Really?
It wasn't a hit, but it was called Eddie Money, I'll Get By. I remember now, it's all coming back. I was like, hey everybody, it's Bobby the Barbarian. And number three in the countdown, it's Eddie Money, I'll Get By. Don't even know the song anymore.
It's just on the log.
But he was, no, I was, they read it. I mean, they told me to say it.
Oh, okay.
I was 12 or 13. So, yeah, there you go. There's a song, I'll Get By, released in 1991.
Wow, he's like a rock star.
Wait, yeah,
lifestyle.
What do you mean?
I'm just looking at pictures on Google Image.
Yeah.
He looked like he lived the
rock. He looked like he lived the rock star life, like in the 80s probably. And then, yeah. He's 70 years old.
The Situation got out of jail. Lunchbox, you see that?
Man, that's good news. That dude has been through a lot. And he's turned his life around, so I'm glad to see him back. And now we'll get him back on the Jersey Shore.
He served 8 months in federal prison for tax evasion. Got out of jail yesterday. They filmed the whole thing when they came. Do you still watch Jersey Shore?
Absolutely. They do these little reunions where they go on little vacations together, and they were at his trial, all that. It's really funny still.
For $133, he got out and bought two vodka pies, a cheese and tomato pie, broccoli rabe. Does that say that? Rabe? No, it just says rabe. R-A-B-E. And sausage pie, chicken fingers, fries, and some fried shrimp. And then they're going to work on having a baby. So the Situation got out of jail. I did that thing with J-Lo, J-Wow, P-Wow.
J-Wow.
We presented together at CMT Awards. Yeah. We like each other's pictures on Instagram. We follow each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she does a good job of making her sponsored posts look like real pictures.
Oh, she does?
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I'll click it and then I'll be like, oh, sponsored post. I don't do a lot of sponsored posts, but I would say this. When I do them, I appreciate if you guys like it. Just like it. Just push like. Because they look at that stuff. The person who like sponsored it. We're doing one now together with the General. So it's not so much sponsored. They're a show thing. We're giving away a trip to watch The Raging Idiots in Vegas. So it's kind of a co-deal.
Mm-hmm.
But we posted a thing yesterday where all you have to do is make up a jingle and sing it to the General's. You know what it is?
Yes. I did my own.
I know.
For a great little rate. You can get online. Go to the General and save some time.
But you can do it however you want. Like if you want to try an opera, it's so easy. Take your phone out, put your thing on selfie video and be like, 40 great glory. You do it in Spanish.
Oh, that'd be cool.
You really, there are all these options. And then if you win, we will send you to Vegas, wherever you are. I think it's like 2 nights. You come see Eddie and I, the Raging Idiots in Vegas. You get tickets.
Where do I go like the post?
Well,
it's, oh, here it is. Got it.
I think from yesterday.
Oh, guess what?
What?
You just got one more like.
Thank you very much.
I missed it, but I'm going to comment too.
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you very much.
Comment.
Oh, yeah. What a great, be like, if you're listening to this, go over now and be like, this is a great idea for a contest. Can't wait to enter. Yeah, I'm in the continuum, sure. It's the jingle remix. So saw that.
Have you done one, Bones? Are you going to do one?
Not fair.
Okay.
Does the general have an Instagram?
Yeah.
I want to tag him, but so far I just see General Hospital, ABC.
Oh, General Hospital. Interesting.
Maybe it's the general.
The average American will spend $1,021. No. $121,000 on dates. $121,000 on dates. Dating is expensive. Man, that's crazy. A new study found that they'll spend that much money over the course of their lifetime. I thought it was like for a week. I was like, yeah, I get that. Mm. I feel you. Dog and, well, I haven't been on a lot of dates, but dating is expensive.
And then for it not to work, that's just, ugh.
Oh, it's all. It never works. It's not supposed to work.
It's just at the end of the night, you got to feel like, oh, that's such a waste.
Yeah.
Right?
Not a waste. It's, you just, because again, I've never been married or engaged, and I haven't had a girlfriend, in like a legitimate girlfriend, in 2 years, which is cute, but not really. At this point, it's like, what's, come on. But I haven't had a girlfriend in 2 years, but, you know, I spend money on dates. It's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But at least I have some money to spend now. I'm in my career, but when I was 22, 23, 25, I was just scrimping to save money, and then we'll be like, well, I got to spend it on a date if I can get somebody to date me. Like, I had a date budget. But yeah, that's a lot. $121,000. A Lamborghini driver doing over 131 miles per hour tells cops he was just showing off.
That's what you do when you got a Lambo.
A man pulled over for doing 131. Dang. That guy could have killed somebody.
Yeah, yeah. That's fast.
Because you hit one little bump the wrong way and you're going that fast. I went to a guy's house yesterday here in town who has he's a billionaire. We're doing business with him. And he had 3 garages. That is like massive garages. It's still on my Instagram story. If you hear this right now, if you're watching live on Facebook, I don't even know what some of those cars were. One of them was like almost $500,000. He said they only made 110 of these. And they all drive. He had a whole garage of Corvettes, old Corvettes. At one point he had a Viper. He was like, this is the one that my everyday driving car. That Viper was like my dream car as a kid.
Really?
That was the car whenever I was like, if you could have any car, what would you have? It was the Viper.
Who makes the Viper?
Dodge? How much is the Viper? Huh?
Oh, the Dodge Viper. Dodge? Yeah, I remember that car.
It looks crazy. It looks so crazy that I don't know if I could pull it off now being 39 because people be like, oh, midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? Amy, look at the Dodge Viper there. Could I drive that? If he like loaned it to me, could I drive it around town? Or is it too much?
Oh, wow.
You could show up on a date with that.
I mean,
you'd win.
What do you think, Amy? Too much?
Does it have the stripes? Do they all have the stripes?
No, I don't think they all have the stripes. But this one does that you see, huh? What do you think about that Dodge Viper?
I mean, it seems pretty awesome, but
heck yeah, think if a dude pulled up and wanted to pick you up for a date in that.
Is it loud?
Is it too
I'm
not an extra person.
Yeah,
Is it extremely extra?
I think it's extra. Oh. But I don't really extra know how awesome. Much they are, so.
You don't know what?
I mean, it looks flashy, but I don't know how much Dodge Vipers are.
Oh, they're super expensive. I'll just borrow his.
Okay.
Oof, super expensive.
So I looked, I don't know why, but I guess maybe it was after that Netflix
show.
Hillary
would probably buy her one for herself. Hillary. What?
I was watching that Netflix show with Jerry Seinfeld, and I ended up Googling, like, does he own all those cars?
Oh, my gosh.
And yeah, Jerry Seinfeld owns 150 cars. And then I got into that wormhole, and Jay Leno owns 286.
This guy has at least 200 cars. At least.
Crazy.
It was unbelievable. Look at my Instagram story right now. If you're on right now and you're watching this or you get this before like 2 p.m. Central, go to my Instagram story, Mr. Bobby Bones, and you'll see all these cars. Amy, what are you looking at?
The price, like the most expensive Viper tops out at almost $200,000. So the average price is about $140,000.
Jeez.
If you get a
imagine
lower
imagine insurance.
End.
This is where my head goes. I don't even think about the price. I'm like, I don't even think insurance would be reasonable.
Right. But if you're buying expensive. A car like that, insurance is nothing, right?
Unless you're Hillary and you spend all your money in your car and you can't even eat. Like, she has to not eat on Wednesdays because she's paying for her SUV. Okay, cool.
Wow. That's crazy.
Is there anything else, Mike, that I wanted to mention here? I know Eddie and I have to go because we're going to Oklahoma City.
We do.
I am taking the dog, as long as he's healthy when I get home. All right.
Hey, you want a keto taste test?
Oh,
these cookies?
Oh, yeah, the keto cookies.
I'll eat them afterward.
All right.
I don't want the pressure of eating them on the air. Ray's girl, did you guys hear Ray in your ear?
Yeah, yeah. We heard it.
Ray's girl, Bay, made me keto cookies since I'm going to start the keto lifestyle probably next week. By the way, Ray walked in this morning, had like a real tight shirt on. Looked good, man.
Thank you.
It inspired me again. I was like, I want to look like that guy.
But you...
I usually wear larges. My chick, for whatever reason, got me a small. And I mean, it is a little too tight on me.
I don't know. Too tight for
but
some.
But do you think you're not trim like that?
Yeah.
I do. That's a problem.
That's the body dysmorphia. Yeah.
I think I'm gross.
Oh, my gosh.
That makes me hurt.
Hey, dude, if you feel that way, then go keto, dude.
You're not gross.
But that's how I feel.
But I know. I hate that you feel that way. I know that feeling because I feel like I've been there, but I want you to get to a place where you love yourself.
Hmm. Yeah, we'll try that after keto. We'll see how much I love me after keto. Okay, we got to go. Check out the new Bobbycast. I got Jim Beavers on. He does play the Drink a Beer demo with Chris Stapleton singing it because him and Chris Stapleton wrote it together. Drink a Beer. Here you go.
That's the day we wrote it.
That's cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's cool.
I didn't know I had that on there.
And also, I didn't know I can control you guys' microphones from here. Hey, Amy, talk. Hello. Ha ha. Look at this. I can shut everybody's mics off from where I am. Ray, would you know that, Ray?
Yo. It's I knew it, but it's very difficult because you're so far from your microphone when you have to do it. But yes, I knew you could do that.
I shut you off now. How you feel about
but
that?
But I can turn myself back on.
Yeah, but
it could be a comp.
I turn myself back.
Yeah, exactly.
It's gonna be a war of turning the mics on.
I didn't know I had the option to do this. How you feeling about that lunchbox? Yeah, exactly. You don't feel anything. I got your mic shut off.
I still feel something.
Dang. All right.
Hey, I got a text from a friend too during the show.
I turned his off.
What?
That said, stop pounding the desk. They can hear you.
I do get a little passionate sometimes.
They texted me like, hey, Bobby keeps pounding the desk.
Two things happened today. One, when I talk, I do that.
What were you passionate about?
I don't know.
About?
Sometimes I'm just talking and I'm just like, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I do. So I should stop that. And then two, for some reason, Amy just grabs her drink and shakes it right on the air sometimes.
I thought I turned my mic off.
No, you didn't. And I looked at Mike D and I'm like, is she out of
I
her mind?
I did turn it off. No. I did this.
No, you didn't. You're still lying.
I can still hear it.
Yeah.
What?
It comes through
what?
My mic,
too. Why is my mute button not working?
It works. Don't do that. This is why we can't have nice stuff. You're just slamming your mute button over and over again.
Hey, I'm going to start doing this.
Okay.
Well, don't do that.
Guys.
But, okay, it's like giving a fine. Toast. We'll be more professional.
Be more professional, please. Just a little bit.
Okay.
We're in a new studio.
Stop banging on your desk.
Now she's coming at you.
No, I'm okay with banging on my desk a little bit.
Okay.
I just got to pick my spots. It's a passion play.
Yeah.
I'm not like constantly hitting it while I'm talking, but like I don't mind it occasionally if I'm like that. I'm pissed.
Yeah.
If I'm in a great mood.
Wow.
What?
The P word.
That's such a good word,
That's
though.
It's not a bad word.
I know it's not. It is to kids, though.
Well, yeah.
It's also a suck to some people.
I know. I say pissed and suck, but.
Oh, gosh. Where's that mute button when you need it?
Holy cow.
Amy. Impressive there.
I do, but I have
excuse
to be
me, FCC.
But when I say it and then my kids start to repeat it back, I'm like, shoot. I can't say that because I don't like y'all talking that way.
Like,
no, I don't say bad words.
I know.
But okay.
Thank you very much. We will see you on Monday's show, and that's all she wrote. Thank you very much. And here is, Amy, you got a new podcast up? You want to throw a shout out to it?
I do. My husband joins me for the intro and outro, and then I have like three different guests. We talk everything from like ice rolling on your face, which is amazing, to salt lamps, to breast explant surgery, to clear bags that you can buy for football games that are super cute. Because you know you can't take a normal person to a game anymore.
I know. One of my friends was like, this designer in Austin.
That's who we talk about.
Made these clear bags so you could take them into games. And so she made them Texas colors. Now she's made them all team colors.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
she
legit.
Has every team. Yeah. And we talk about that because it's like the best bag. You can, even on her website, you can scroll down and hit team colors. And then you pick out the one that matches your team. All women need this.
Pretty baller.
Yeah. So four
great
things.
Great idea.
Four Things with Amy Brown.
Four Things with Amy Brown. Check out The Sore Losers. They got a sports show on your podcast this weekend. If we're not on and you want to check it out, we'd love it. Thank you so much. Have a great Friday. Here is today's show.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go.
Transmitting across America.
This
is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
Hey, welcome to Friday's show. Appreciate everybody being here. Should have Tim McGraw on later. We got some dance parties. Feel pretty good about today. Morning, studio.
Morning.
I want to bring on Hope in Maryland first. Hope, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're pretty good. What's happening?
I had a poll for the show. Is it weird to drink milk without anything else? Like without cookies or anything?
So you're saying you just pour you a glass of milk and have a drink?
Yeah.
Why do you ask? Are you the one doing it or is someone in your life?
So I did it yesterday, and all of my friends were like, that's so weird. You just have a glass of milk. And so I put it on my Instagram, like did a poll, and it's 50-50. Like everyone thinks that it's like weird to drink a glass of milk. I don't think at all, but I wonder what you guys said.
Okay, let's go around the room. Amy, she drinks a glass of milk. That's it. Straight up in a glass. Mm-hmm. Is that weird?
I used to when I was a kid, but as an adult, I feel like it's kind of weird.
There's we have one yes in there. All right, there's a yes. Lunchbox?
No, I drink milk. I'll get a glass of milk. My wife drinks a glass of milk every night. It's like her little dessert after dinner, so I don't see anything wrong with it.
No, it's not weird. Okay, there you go. So we have one yes, one no. Eddie, is it weird?
I have a friend that does it, but he's the only one that I've ever seen do it as an adult, like Amy said. It's weird as an adult. Kids do it all the time. Weird as an adult.
I'm going to go... It's not weird. I don't do it. Milk doesn't really set with me right. But there were people in my life that did it. I'm not a big milk guy.
Mm-mm,
but I'm going to go, no, it's not weird. And just put it there. No, we're 50-50 still. Morgan, number two, you're 25 years old.
I don't think it's weird. I drink milk by itself all the time, honestly.
Is that what the kids are doing these days? You go to the club and have some milk?
It's an easy way to get like your calcium in and even some good protein, so I don't think it's a bad thing.
Okay, Raymundo in the glass room.
Yeah, not weird at all. We got 2 gallons every week as kids, and we drink it up every meal pretty much.
Well, there you have it, Hope. It looks like you are not weird. I only know because I know people in my life that do drink, and everybody that drinks milk is white. They're all white people.
Oh, interesting.
Like, think about all the people in your life that just drink milk. Are they all white people?
Yeah.
I really don't know anybody that just drinks milk. If I do have milk, it's almond milk and I put ice in it.
That's not milk. And I use almond milk. I don't drink almond milk, but I use almond milk for things.
Mm-hmm.
Then eat milk.
Mm-hmm.
Milk's from a moo
but
cow.
Maybe because even when I was a kid, when we drank milk, we drank it with ice.
Whoa.
You are, I hope you got some vindication and validation.
Yeah,
Hope.
Go pour yourself a glass.
Okay, well.
Yep. All right, thank you, Hope.
Have a great day.
Have a good day. There she is. There's Hope in Maryland. Well, let's get going here. Amy, you feel good?
Yeah, I feel good. You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm a little, yeah, I feel good. Going to Oklahoma City tonight to comedy and Little Rock tomorrow. It's been a long week and even a longer week next week just because I'm all over the place. This travel, and not even my fault, the travel that I schedule for me, I can handle. It's the extra travel the work schedules for me. They're like, hey, go do great shows, but go to all these cities at the same time. And I'm like,
yeah.
You expect great ratings, but then you send me to 19 cities in 6 days.
Wow, that's a lot.
I know.
Here's the Bobby Bones Show podcast highlight segment of the day.
All right, let's do awkward encounters. Do we have anything made for this? All right, hit me, Raymundo.
And now time for an awkward encounter.
That's awesome. Okay, so I was at Target and this woman came up to me and acted like she knew me. And so I didn't know her, so I just assumed maybe she's a listener. So I was excited to get to know her. Then she asked me how my sweet parents are doing. And I was like, huh, that's weird. My dad doesn't live here yet. And my mom, she passed away. So I was like, ugh, I don't know how to handle this. So I figured, okay, she doesn't know who I am. And I didn't want to get awkward by saying, I don't like talking about how my mom has died to people. It's just weird at times. So I just told her my parents were doing great. And we left it at that.
Walked away. She thought you were someone else.
Clearly. Oh, it was very obvious. I mean, a little more interaction was exchanged. And it was very obvious that she clearly thought I was someone else. And she was a little bit older. Probably about my parents' age. So when she asked about how they were doing, well, now she walked away thinking they're doing great.
Good, good.
Whoever they are.
And everybody won.
Everybody won. But I just was like, just a little bit awkward.
That's an awkward encounter. Raymundo hit it again.
And that was an awkward encounter.
All right, my turn.
And now time for an awkward encounter.
I was in New York, and I see Eddie George standing on the side of the road. Eddie George is a former Titans player. Really good football player, running back. And he's standing there. It looks cool. He's got his headphones in. And I'm like, should I go up to him and bother Eddie George? Because I'm a fan. But he had headphones in. But I was like, maybe he'll know who I am. And so I go up and I say, hey, Eddie George, how's it going? He's nice, takes his earbud out. And he's like, what's up? You know how you're like listening to something and someone comes up to you?
Excuse me?
And I was like, oh, dang. I'm already down in the hole once because he was totally dialed into what he was listening to. He takes his earphone out and he goes, what's up? And I go, hey, man, I'm Bobby Bones. And he gives me that look like, is that supposed to be something? Like, and I'm like, because it doesn't have to be. And I'm like,
right.
I'm like, no. So then I get him with the, I live in Nashville. And he's like, okay, me too. And I'm like, anyway, hope you're good, man. Just walked off.
Oh, yeah, that's awkward.
It's pretty awkward. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
It's tough. But we did it. I did it. I always think if you're a fan of somebody, you should go up to them. Even if it comes out awkward, that's okay.
Right.
At least you tried.
You tried.
And that's my awkward encounter.
And that was an awkward encounter.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, it is.
It is tough. Yeah, it is tough, though, because people will ask me about my mom sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sometimes I say, if they want a follow-up to her cancer from 5 years ago, sometimes you just do not want to be the Debbie Downer that's mm-hmm. like, well, she lost her battle to cancer. So I'm just like, she's doing okay. Gotta go.
People will ask me about mine because she's passed away, too. And like, how's your mom? I'm like, man, just great. I mean, you just...
I know. Well, right after she passed away,
especially if they don't really care. Especially if they're just asking as like a fleeting question to just get somewhere. If it's like small talk.
Right. Well, there were some sweet artists that would come in after, and they kind of would know because we talked about on air that, yeah, Amy's mom had cancer, but they're not dialed into everything.
Yeah.
And sometimes they would come in shortly after she passed away and be like, how's your mom doing? Ugh. Good. She's good.
Let me mention this real quick. This weekend, when we're not on the air, I would encourage you to check out the Bobbycast. It's a podcast that I bring on artists and songwriters, and we sit down for an hour, and it's awesome. And Jim Beavers is on this week. He's written a bunch of songs from Watching Airplanes for Gary Allen, 5150 for Dirk Bentley, Drink a Beer, Luke Bryan. And so I asked him about Red Solo Cup. And did you know Tim McGraw put it on hold first?
I did not.
Yeah, here.
Got to Toby Keith out on the road somewhere, and you know, people were listening to it on their buses, and the song ended. He said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Play it again. And they did. He said, I'm going to cut it, and they did. So that was it, man.
Did anyone before Toby come and go, hey, I want to cut it?
Tim McGraw at one point said he was going to cut it and put it on his record like as a hidden track or something.
Oh, not the Target. The dreaded Target extra track.
Maybe
the
Best Buy special limited edition only in the Southeast.
So I thought that was interesting. And then he also talked about what he learned after his write with Taylor Swift. She was 14 and had just come to town. Here you go.
You know, at that time, I was, I guess, in my 30s or something, and thought I was this real songwriter or something. And I remember, like, what am I doing in a room with a 14-year-old girl? You know, what in the world can we have in common? And so I remember having a bad attitude about the write. Like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? What I learned from her is that, from an artist's perspective, she knew exactly who she was. She knew exactly what she wanted to say. She knew exactly where she was going.
He talked about how she couldn't write till after 3:30 because of school. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's up. Check out the newest episode of the Bobbycast. Wherever you listen to podcasts, just go ahead and search it and check it out this weekend if you got a little time.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
Let's go over to our producer, Raymundo. Raymundo, what you got over there?
10 Democratic presidential hopefuls took the stage for the presidential debate last night. Joe Biden remains the poll leader. In other news, the U.S. Coast Guard is warning against leaving cell phones charging unsupervised after a survivor of that fatal boat fire that killed 34 is claiming that's what started the fire. And finally, to continue to help out those affected by Hurricane Dorian, just go to redcross.org. Again, that's redcross.org.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Are you superstitious?
Not really, no.
You a little stitious?
No, I mean, I guess I think about it because people put it out there, but if a black cat crosses me in the street, I don't think something bad's going to happen. Or if I have to walk under a ladder, it's fine.
Well, today is Friday 13th.
Yeah.
Do you care? Did you think about it when you woke up?
I do. Sometimes when I have to fly on Friday the 13th, I'm like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't fly. But then I think to myself, nothing's going to happen.
I was like, elevators that go from 12 to 14.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody gets off on the 14th floor. You're still on the 13th floor, crazies.
Because there's no 13th.
Yeah. A lot of hotels won't put 13th floor on there. So the origin of Friday the 13th is that people believe it's unlucky because it was the day Jesus was crucified. And 13 signifies the number of guests at the Last Supper, with the infamous Judas being the 13th person seated at the table.
I never knew that Friday the 13th was tied to that.
Tupac Shakur died on Friday, September 13th, 1996. On October 13th, which was a Friday, the plane crash, cannibalism, and avalanche of the rugby team from Uruguay.
Oh, yeah.
That happened. The Cubs' black cat curse on Friday the 13th, 1969, where a black cat darted onto the field and they didn't win forever. We might have a close encounter with an asteroid on Friday the 13th, 2029. They're saying that could be the demise of us as a civilization. Mark Twain was allegedly once invited to be the 13th dinner guest at a party. As the story goes, he went to the dinner despite a superstitious friend's warning. He said it was bad luck. They only had food for 12.
Oh.
Is anyone else scared right now?
And then finally, businesses lose money on Friday the 13th. Reports from CNBC claim that at least $700 million are lost by businesses when Friday the 13th rolls around because folks let their superstitious get them away from doing travel or purchases. And they're like, we're not going to buy anything on this day. So businesses lose a bunch of money.
Wow.
Enjoy your day, folks. Friday the 13th. Enjoy your day. This is the Bobby Bones Show. Okay, Lynn in South Carolina is on the phone. Let's go talk to Lynn. Lynn, what's happening?
Hi, I was calling to see how Stanley's puppy training went and how his health is doing.
Well, I mean, okay, I'll say this. My dog's name is Stanley. He's getting close to 5 months old at this point. I'm taking him out this weekend. I think he's healthy enough to take him to Oklahoma City and Little Rock for my comedy shows. And so he's going to go out on the road. So he's healthy enough there. I sent him away for a week as I went away for a week because I had vacation. And instead of putting him in one of those, what do they call them? Doggy daycare?
Sure.
Which I may do at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I'll just send him to training. So I trained him and he came back. And I got to say, they did a good job with him. And some of the stuff took. He's at least trained pretty well. About half the time, if I say come, he'll come. Where before it was like 1 in 10. You had to have food in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So he's definitely made some strides. But the thing about training is not only do they train them a bit, but they also train you to keep training them. And I've been gone a lot.
I know. It's hard.
It's hard.
If you don't stick with it, then they lose it.
Yeah. And so his eye still has that cherry eye, and it's gotten a little bigger where it's this red thing grows and it kind of grows over the eye a little bit. And it got a little worse for a while. And I took him to the vet, and the vet's like, all right, we'll give him some antibiotics, but we can't mess with it until he gets put under, unless you want to put him under again, and I don't. So he gets neutered in November, and when he does that and he goes under, they're also going to do the cutting on his cherry eye. But they're hoping his other eye gets cherry eye,
yeah.
Because apparently with these dogs, it happens all the time, and they have to do them both at the same time. It's wild. People tell me, bulldogs, they're sick all the time, they get hurt. I was like, stop it. I'll take care of mine. I get mine. His dog's sick all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But he's super sweet. He doesn't jump on people as much. He doesn't chew. Eddie's been over a couple times.
No,
he
hasn't done?
He hasn't chewed my feet.
None.
It's been great.
Either Eddie's come over to the house or I've taken him out to band practice.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really chew.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going good. I would say it's going pretty good. The dog, the trainer did a good job. I haven't done a great job of keeping. And I just leave. That's why I'm going to take him out this weekend. I should have just given him up till he finished the puppy stage and then got him back. Because I talked to so many people, they're like, oh, you should have done the puppy thing. I was like, I know. The puppy thing's hard.
But he's so cute.
He's so cute.
He's all right. He's all right. Yeah, Lynn, I think that's the story. Are you comfortable with that update? Anything else you want to know?
Has he earned your love yet?
Ooh.
Yeah, he's getting there. I don't know that there's ever a point where I just go, oh, you just got my love. But yeah, I do care about him. Because I've just taken care of him so much.
Yeah.
I've already invested a lot in him. Time and money. But I don't... Yeah, I would say it's getting there.
Yeah, I think one day he'll be snuggling up on you and you'll know.
Well, this morning he was on the bed. He's like... Wah. And I was like... Ugh.
Wait, why was he in your bed?
I let him in the morning sometimes. He just doesn't sleep there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he has his own room.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't have a room my whole life. Until I was like... In college, I never had a bedroom.
And now
this dog's got his own room right now.
Man.
Doesn't even wake up and say thank you. He just farts.
Life.
Yeah. All right, Lynn. Hey, Lynn, thank you for calling, though. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right, see you later.
Yeah, have a good day.
You too.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
Back in April, there's this little kid named Braden. He's 8 years old. He gets rushed to the hospital because he gets really sick, and he's in the ICU. They're trying to figure out what's wrong with him, and they found a virus was attacking his liver, and he would need a liver transplant. So all these people go and get tested. No one's a match. Then one of his ICU nurses says, you know what? I'll get tested. She's a match and donates part of her liver to him.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Shout out to all the ICU nurses, including my sister.
That's crazy. That's a good one. Shout out. And that's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from High Springs, Florida. A 30-year-old woman was arrested for stalking. She's in the back of the police car, got her handcuffs on. She's like, man, I don't want to be in here. Slips her wrists out, climbs through the thing, and takes off in the police cruiser. Only problem is she drives it home, and they have GPS on the police cruiser. So they show up at her house, and there's the cop car sitting in her driveway.
Yeah, it's tough to steal a car nowadays. I thought about it.
Yeah.
But they all have computers in them.
Yeah.
I look in the window, I'll be like, how's that one? Nah, computer. They need to give me like an 86 Oldsmobile to steal. That's what to do. All right, thank you, Lunchbox.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
The Bobby Bone Show.
Marissa in Pittsburgh's on the phone right now. Marissa, what's happening?
Hi, morning studio.
Morning. What's going on?
Not much. So I have a question for all of you. I wanted to ask, now that Facebook Live is a part of the show, when you go out in public, do you feel like you guys receive more attention from people?
I don't think so. I mean, I think for me it was more of getting on American Idol or Dancing with the Stars more than Facebook Live. And I think most people that follow us on Facebook already know what we look like.
Pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think radio used to be, you just heard people. Now, if you don't look the part or at least put the part up online, you're missing out on a big part of it. So I think people that listen to the show for the most part know what we look like or follow us on some sort of social media or website or something. Would you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Has Facebook done anything for you?
Mm-mm, I don't think so.
Maybe it's not worse. People are like, oh, get off Facebook.
Right.
I see enough of you.
Yeah.
Hey, Marissa, how's your day going? Pretty good?
Good. Yeah, I just wanted to call in and ask that and say that I listen to the show every morning on my way to work. And I watch it when I come in. So I love you guys. You guys make me die laugh.
Oh,
like,
thanks.
Every morning.
Let me ask you a question.
All right.
Would you like to try to win $100?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Depending... What's the game?
Well, we're going to play the 60-second showdown, and you get to pick your category. And so, well, our station in Chicago plays it. They play the big $1,000 minute, but I don't have $1,000. I haven't used my own money, so I'm going to do $100. I put 60 seconds on the clock. If you answer all 10 questions correctly, you win. They're easy questions. You just got to get 10 questions.
All right, let's go.
You want to do, history, movies, or the Bobby Bone Show?
That's a hard one. I'm going to say, let's do movies.
Okay, movies it is. If you want to pass, we'll come back to it, okay?
All right.
And if you miss it, we can come back to it. Here we go. 60 seconds on the clock at the end of the first question. Where did Harry Potter go to school?
I don't watch Harry Potter.
We'll come back.
Pass.
Who sang the theme song from Titanic?
Pass.
What is the name of the warthog in Lion King?
Wow, I don't know any of these.
Yeah, you're really struggling here.
Yikes.
It's worth $1,000 now. In The Wizard of Oz, what state is Dorothy from?
Oh, my goodness. I should know this.
It's now worth $10,000. What's the highest grossing movie of all time?
What's the highest what? I'm sorry.
Grossing movie of all time.
Oh, now that one I'm not going to know.
It's worth $1 million now, folks, if you win this game. What fictional city does the Dark Knight live in?
I'm just going to guess on this. New York.
I'm sorry, Marissa, you got zero right.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not good at trivia, guys.
Hogwarts is where Harry Potter went to school. Hogwarts.
That's it.
Celine Dion. Don't be yelling, that's it. Come on. Celine Dion sang the theme song from Titanic. Pumbaa is the warthog in Lion King. Kansas is the state that Dorothy is from in The Wizard of Oz.
Oh my goodness.
The highest grossing movie of all time is Avengers Endgame, and The Dark Knight lives in Gotham City.
Yeah, wouldn't know those last
two. Hey, we still like you, though. We still like you. We have a chance, though. We won $1 million. Better luck next time. Hey, Marissa, thank you for listening in Pittsburgh. Have a great day.
Thank you, you too.
All right, see you later. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
Fun fact Friday.
Yes. First fun fact.
There are 28 fireplaces in the White House.
Oh, yeah? The White House is supposedly old and really crappy to live in. Do you know that? I know it's old, but I mean, I guess it's like small and cramped and...
like not as, probably as amazing as we think it is.
Mm-hmm. And not that luxurious because there's not a lot of space in there. But 28 fireplaces, seems like there's a lot of room, huh?
Yeah.
I have a fireplace. I don't even use it. And like, I think Eddie came over and figured out how to turn it on. It's not even a real fireplace. You push a button.
Yeah, it's electrical. It's like a switch and it turns on. It's kind of cool.
But we still couldn't figure. We were dumb as a rock.
Took a while.
I don't know. Yeah, what else you got?
Cologne was originally produced as a protection against the plague. It was widely believed that bad smelling air spread the disease. So people started spraying their bodies with cologne and boom, now here we are.
Wow. I wonder what that's going to be in 50 years when it's like these stupid people in 2019, you know, they were... well, what do we do now? That's probably it's going to be phones. It's going to be like they would keep these devices up to their head, and they wondered why are we getting dumber
or how we ate sugar for fun.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it's going to be: phones and sugar. Yeah. Can
they
you
would
imagine?
Go to the movies and they would eat sugar,
and they just held this radioactive brick up to their head like idiots. Yeah, what else?
Pineapples, take years to grow. I had no idea that when you eat a pineapple, it took 2 to 3 years to get that pineapple.
Wow.
If you think about it, I mean, but I just kind of thought, well, don't do it. But I mean, that's some planning ahead with the pineapple department.
Is there a department that's planning?
All right, pineapple friends, we're looking to the fall of 2023 to get this crop out.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It's a long time.
Yeah. I probably should not complain about the price of the pineapples ever again. Okay. The board game Candyland, it was invented in a polio ward during an epidemic in the 40s to give quarantined kids a distraction. So it's just for them. Candyland.
That's not that fun, Amy. I know we're doing fun facts.
Yeah.
But that's maybe the least fun fact you've ever shared.
I ran it by Mike D.
Did she? She really did?
And you thought that was fun?
And you thought that was fun?
Yeah, that's really sad.
Oh, boy.
What's wrong with you, man?
If you didn't like that one,
she totally knew we were going to hit her on it. She was like, right now, my mic
gets worse, Amy.
It gets worse.
Okay, give me one more.
Oh, boy.
I don't even know if I can say this one, but I'm going to. Canned food was invented in 1810, but the can opener wasn't invented until 1858. So, did you know what they did for 48 years in between?
Stared at it?
No.
Pondered?
A hammer and a chisel.
Oh. That's pretty fun.
And then so... Oh, okay,
sometimes
yeah,
that's I still really do that with a fork if I can't find the can opener.
That's so dangerous, Bones.
Hammer and a chisel. That's what you need. Okay, moving on. Storm Area 51. It's feared to become Fry Fest 2.0.
Fire Fest.
I know. Why do I always say fry? Fire Fest. So...
They've canceled it, right? Because of a humanitarian crisis, is what I read.
Oh, really? It's totally canceled? Okay, well, Bud Light, just heads up, is sponsoring an alternative celebration, and millions of people have responded on that, so you can hit that up. In Las Vegas.
Okay, but that's not really in but the other one's not in Las Vegas, so Bud Light's just up in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's called Area 51 Celebration.
All right, what else?
If you want to hit that up. And then, Bobby, I know your dog has his own bedroom, like, and everything, but I did see a new study found that people now sleep better with their dogs in their room.
No, I get it. I think I would, but my dog snores and farts, and I would not sleep better.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Whenever he goes in to get neutered and eye surgery, can he get his deviated septum fixed?
Mm-hmm. He's got like a throat, like a back of his tongue thing.
Oh.
Yes.
So maybe you should do that.
I'm going to.
Oh.
All at the same time.
Oh, okay.
He's going to wake up and be like, what happened to me? I'm hurting. Yeah.
I'm Amy. That's what I'm on.
That was Amy's pile of stories. Oh! It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
This is a good one. 17-year-old Tanvi spends most of her free time throwing birthday parties for homeless children who otherwise couldn't afford a party. Isn't that pretty cool?
Love that.
Created a charity group called No Birthday Left Behind when she was in eighth grade.
Hmm.
And since then, the effort has grown. And she now travels to different homeless shelters around the San Francisco area in California and throws special parties for the kids there. That's really cool. Thanks to her parents, and the generosity of those in the community, a lot of kids get to enjoy their birthdays, which would have otherwise been overlooked.
Yep.
Thought that was special. She started that in eighth grade. That's so cool. And that is what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good. Bobby
Bones Show. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Luke Combs has a new album coming out. He announced it'll be out on November 8th, and it's called What You See Is What You Get. And his fan favorite song, One Too Many, featuring Brooks and Dunn, is on it.
There's no stopping me once I get to go and put a can in my hand, man, I'm wide ass open. A tick-tock of that clock is like a time bomb.
Shared a new song called Fooled Around and Fell in Love, and it features the artists on her tour, Maren Morris, Ashley McBride, Tenille Townes, Elle King, and Kaylee Hammock.
But then I fooled around and fell in love. I fooled around and fell in love. Yes, I do, yes, I do. I fooled around and fell in love.
Old Dominion shared another song from their self-titled album called Midnight Mess Around.
I'm out of midnight mess around. I know which road to take it down. So let your head and your dress fall to the ground.
And then Hardy dropped his mixtape Volume 1, and it features a bunch of mixtapes with different artists like Cole Swindell, Jake Owen, Thomas Rhett, and more. Here's his song No Place Like Hometown with Keith Urban and Hillary Lindsey.
Cause there ain't no place like hometown. There ain't no red dirt, cherry, gravel, black road I'd rather drive down.
I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Talking to Tim McGraw in just a few minutes, probably less than 5 minutes. But first, let's go to Amy with the Morning Corny.
The Morning Corny.
How do snails fight?
How do snails fight?
They slug it out.
That's a pretty good one. They slug it out. That's a pretty good one. She's back, folks. She's back. She's back. There we go.
That was the Morning Corny.
The Friday Morning Conversation.
Hey, Tim McGraw is performing Friday night at our iHeartRadio Music Festival a week from today, and Tim's actually on the phone right now. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
You good?
I'm great, man. Just finishing up in the gym.
I was just thinking about you because of that. Mm-hmm. So what I wonder about that gym is, since you opened a gym in town, do you ever pop in there and get a workout in?
I did last, 2 weeks ago, but most of the time it's a little too far away from. After I drop Audrey off at school, I usually come back and just hit my home gym.
What's the home gym like at your house?
It's pretty good. I keep it hot, though. That's the main. One of my pet peeves. I don't know about you, but when I'm on the road and you go into a hotel gym or something, they have it so cold in there that you can't really sweat, so you have to pile on sweatshirts and stuff. So in my gym at home, I love being down there because I keep it at about 100 degrees.
Oh my
hot.
Gosh! Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like hot yoga in there.
Sort of like hot yoga, but except for I'm a little too lazy to do yoga, which I need to do more. When you get old, you got to stretch a little more.
Tim McGraw's on the phone. I was thinking about you, too, watching LSU play last week.
Yes.
I mean, you got to be pretty pumped this year, right?
I'm telling you what, it's the first time in a long, long time that we've got a passing game and running a spread offense and it's actually working. I mean, I'm looking forward to the next game and to beat Texas like that because, a couple of guys in my band are big Texas fans, so it was fun to watch them get beat.
I was about to say, your quarterback's leading the Heisman Trophy odds right now.
That's right. That's right. We were texting back and forth with big Heisman Trophy poses and stuff back and forth between us all. We were thinking the same thing as we were watching the game.
And I wish
our defense has just got to step up and make sure nobody else scores any points on us.
Are you trying to get out to any games?
I'm going to try. It's a pretty busy fall. We've had a busy summer. I'm not touring a whole lot this summer. I'm doing a lot of fairs and festivals, so I'm not doing a tour proper. But between between my oldest daughter moving and then my middle daughter starting her senior year of college and then our youngest daughter's in her senior year of high school. So there's a lot of moving parts going on. And working on the new album, which we're just finishing up. So there's a lot of moving parts going on.
Tell me about this song, Thought About You. I think it's on number 19 this week. Like, tell me what this one's about to you.
This song, you know, this song is one of those songs that just really sit and make you think. And it's one of those songs that can plug into anyone's life. I think everybody has a moment in their life where they can sit and reflect and think about someone they love. Either someone that from their past life, someone that's passed on, or somebody that they often think about that may not be in their life anymore.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Tim McGraw.
Tim McGraw is on with us right now. Yeah. I was thinking about you during all this Old Town Road because everybody's like, look at this. We got a rapper and a country guy together. First time in history. And I'm like, you guys don't even know. You guys don't even know Tim McGraw and Nelly.
Oh, man, that was fun a long time ago with Nelly. I can remember one of the coolest things when we recorded that song is we were in L.A. and we were sitting in the studio and we both had legal pads and we were sitting there writing lyrics out. And also the drummer for Def Leppard was sitting there with his Richard. Because Robert Allen, who works for Taylor Swift now, was my tour manager at the time, and his brother happens to be Richard Allen, who plays drums with Def Leppard. And so it was pretty cool to have me and Nelly and then Richard sitting in the studio while we were recording that song. That was a really cool day.
Kids don't even know. When I heard that song the first time back in the day, I was like, this song's changing my life. Like, I was a Tim McGraw fan. I was a Nelly fan. I was like, I cannot believe they're doing a song together. And then people are going to be like, Old Town Road's breaking barriers. Give me a break. Tim McGraw and Nelly broke barriers.
Well, Old Town Road is a pretty cool record. I got to give them that for sure. But it certainly makes me want to call up Nelly and go out and hit that song again because that was a lot of fun.
Our guy Lunchbox here called a restaurant. We were doing a bit because people apparently call restaurants and use fake names to get in. And he said he was Tim McGraw and tried to get in. And they didn't believe he was you. He tried to make a reservation in your name. They didn't believe he was you. Do you use your real name when you go into reservations or you have something else happen?
When we're out of town, usually we do, just because nobody knows the difference. Somebody, but when we're in town, if we make a reservation in town, we usually know the people that we're calling because we pretty much go to the same places all the time.
Tim McGraw,
everybody knows.
Tim McGraw's on right now. This Drive, the Cars cover that you did.
Yeah,
like I first saw it on Instagram when you guys posted it. But man, it is so good. Like, what inspired you to do this one?
I've always loved that. I'm a big Cars fan anyway, and I've always loved that song. And back when I was playing around a guitar in high school, that was one of the songs that I would sit around and play. And then after I graduated high school, when I was sitting around on steps of the frat house and playing music, trying to get lucky with a guitar in my hand, doing anything I could to draw attention from the girls, I was sitting there playing. That was one of the songs I would play. And then we played it in clubs for quite a while. And when Byron and I and the band were in the studio and we were cutting songs for this new record and I wanted to do a cover, and we sort of racked our brains thinking of what cover to do, and I sat down and started goofing around with that on guitar, and Byron said, well, let's just do that one. And within 5 minutes, we had an arrangement worked out, and then we just really loved how it was sounding, so we went ahead and recorded it. And then we sort of put it out to be streamed just for people to hear, you know, just get a taste of some of the stuff that we're doing on the record.
Yeah, it's good. It's real good. And it's one of those songs, where you're like, oh, no, I don't know if... Like, they got to do it justice, but, man, you killed it. It's real. I'm going to play it coming up here in just a second.
Right on. Thanks, man.
I want to mention this before we go. You know, I'm thinking about to our last iHeartRadio Music Festival. Was Paul McCartney watching you play? Do you remember that?
I do. We were in the middle of, just kicking off the song. He came out with his people, and they sit right on the side, and he was singing every word to Barbecue Stain. And it sort of made my night. I'm sitting there jamming, and look over, and Paul McCartney standing up, clapping hands, and he's singing along to something like that. And then another thing that happened, I don't know if you remember, but there were these steps that went up on this platform on either side of the stage. And it was probably about 10 steps up, so it's a good 10-foot platform on the side. And I went up those steps, and Paul McCartney was right in front of it. And I ran and was going to leap over the steps like a 10-foot jump. And right at the last minute, I thought, should I do this in front of Paul McCartney and bust my ass in front of everybody and really embarrass myself? Or should I just go for it? And I went for it. Man, I barely stuck the landing. But thank God I did, because, you know, you don't want to fall in front of anybody on stage, but you certainly don't want to fall in front of Sir Paul.
Dude, that's awesome. All right, Tim McGraw performing Friday night at our iHeartRadio Music Festival 1 week from today. Friday and Saturday night in Las Vegas. Still time to book a trip. Tickets, iHeartRadio.com/tickets. Tickets are just $75. Zach Brown Band, Hootie and the Blowfish, Miley Cyrus, Kane Brown with Marshmello, Maren Morris playing the Daytime Village. It's going to be awesome. So, yeah, let's do that. All right, well, I don't quite understand this, but there's a bizarre social media craze that sees women using glue to lift their top lips higher to create a fuller pout. Now, I had Mike D do a little research here. Mike D, tell me about this.
Yeah, so what people are doing on the app TikTok, they're taking, like, super glue, putting it right above their lip. And then
so is it that little spot that has the, you know, that little in-between?
Like, the little in-between part.
Yeah.
And then they lift their lip up, and it kind of, like,
oh, it glues together.
Together, so it makes it look fuller.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Looks painful.
So in the middle of your lip, you've got this little tunnel. We'll call it a tunnel.
Yeah.
If you glue both sides of the tunnel together, it makes your lip look cooler.
And then, like, pull the lip up.
Yeah. Give me some super glue.
I think you go, it's like this.
It's like this, like lifting it up. Not putting it together, like lifting it up.
Not in the groove.
And, like, the skin sticks together and makes it look fuller.
Huh. Yeah, I mean.
Does it look good, though, really?
No.
Oh.
Looks like it hurts.
Should we be on TikTok? Because all the kids are doing it.
It's, I don't know. You get. Mike D, should Amy be on TikTok?
Probably not. I mean, it's fun to. I like browsing around on it. I don't post anything.
Okay. Well, my daughter always talking about TikTok. I'm like, you don't even have a phone. I don't even know where she sees it, but.
Where does she see it?
Good question.
Because at her school, she's not in a class with a bunch of kids.
Correct. I don't know. She just knows things. I'll find out. Maybe she saw it on an episode of Friends.
No. Wasn't around then.
Wasn't around then? Okay, I don't know. I'll find out.
I saw where Popeye said that, okay, they have a solution to the chicken sandwich shortage, and that's bring your own bread. So if you take your own bread up with two buns, and you go, hey, I like me a chicken sandwich, they'll just give you chicken tenders, you buy them, and you put them in the bread, and you eat the sandwich. You make your own sandwich.
So they're out of buns?
No, they're being funny.
Oh. Sorry, I was
You basically just go buy
serious.
Chicken strips and put them in bread, and they're like, there's your chicken sandwich.
Okay.
Although the condiments aren't on there. So. Yeah. They say, come on up. Did anyone, Lunchbox the only one that had it, huh?
Yep.
I mean, I want to, just because of all the hype. I need to try it.
It can't possibly live up to the hype at this
point.
Yeah. Even if it's really good, it can't possibly live up to the hype. Although, your thoughts?
It's better than Chick-fil-A. I did the taste test. That was the big competition, and I thought it was really good.
I can't even imagine.
I think speaking of food, you won the food combo draft yesterday.
Yeah, I did. I looked at that last night, and I mean, I did a great job. I just want to say, America, realize I had a great draft, and thank you for voting for me. And I'm going to celebrate this weekend with some eggs and bacon.
Morgan number two, you lost.
I know.
You have to sit out.
What? I know.
It went Lunchbox, Bobby, Eddie, Raymundo, Morgan number two.
Oh.
Wow.
First time to sit out?
It's hard.
It is.
She's the leader
it's
in the.
It's a little brutal.
And,
I know.
Mm,
I feel. And it's my first pick, too. It would have been if I stayed in, so.
Oh, it goes over to Raymundo with the first pick on Tuesday.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, Raymundo.
Man, y'all, that was dumb me to do chicken and waffles. What was I thinking?
Morgan number two and I went to box last night at Title Boxing. Late, too. Because I had meetings all day yesterday and into the afternoon. And so I was like, hey, I'm going to go by and box. Did you hurt yourself?
Yeah, like I strained my forearm a little bit when I punched a little too hard.
I was like, are you all right? She's like, I'm good. And she's like, injured. It's a class. You're not playing for a scholarship. And she's like, I'll keep going. Boom. And every time she's like holding her arm, like, I'll get it. I'm like, we're all right. Nobody's watching. This isn't a documentary. Like, you should just rest. She's like, I must never give up. Punch, punch. But we did that yesterday. You don't want to come?
Maybe she... I didn't know y'all were going.
You couldn't come. I saw you look at my Instagram story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So this little girl, Emma, she loves animals. And there was a point when she was old enough that she realized not all animals have loving homes and they have to live in shelters. And that really worried her. So now at 8 years old, she creates rock art. She paints rocks and she sells them. She sells the small rocks for $5 and the bigger rocks for $20. And then she takes the money that she earns to buy food for the animals and delivers the food to shelters.
Wow.
Yeah.
She had an idea
and executed.
And she's doing it. And then she's doing what she's doing. That's great.
I know. And she's only 8. Did I?
You did.
Say that?
That's
eight
great.
8 years old.
That's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Let's go over to Austin in Alabama. Austin, what's happening?
Hey, Bobby.
You're on the air, bud.
Morning, studio.
Morning.
Heck yeah.
I was just wondering what happened with Lunchbox and Fortune's signature.
Yeah, a package came. Lunchbox forwards a signature for someone in the office. We talked about it on the show. Did anything happen?
No, I'm good. I think I'm in the clear. I think the dust has settled and I escaped unharmed. But look, man, someone came to me and they needed a signature of a manager. The manager wasn't in town. And I just thought I was doing the guy a solid. I didn't know I was going to get, you know, all this backlash about forging a little signature. But I'm good.
I mean, you used three cliches in a row. I'm clear. The dust has settled. We're all...
Peace out.
Yeah. Anything else, Austin?
Yeah, you. One more thing. You always talk about how you want people to call in with something negative about the show.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got one thing, and it's really not about the show. It's actually about the podcast. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but y'all are on air for, like, what, 5 hours?
Yeah, but there are also songs and commercials.
Yeah.
And then we replay some of the late 9 a.m. hour back.
Right.
And then we can't put in some of the stuff that we do. In, but like, right, yeah. What's your point?
I'm just irritated with it because they're always like an hour long and I listen to them all day at work and I'm constantly having to change it out. I was just wondering if y'all could like extend it anyhow or.
Well, we do a post-show, pre-show every day. Actually, I'm curious as to how long they are. Let me look real quick. I bet you they're longer than an hour if I'm just looking here. Yesterday's was 2 hours. The day before, there's hour 30, hour 49, 2 hours, 5 minutes, 2 hours, 2 minutes. So.
Averaging two-ish hours.
Around 2 hours, especially when we do the post-show, pre-show. So you're right. I'll have Eddie and Morgan number two do a couple hours afterward every day.
Yeah,
but we do have things we got to put on. Like we can't play the songs that we play on the podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Why don't you get Hillary to do it? Since you know you're paying her so much to drive a Mercedes now.
Oh. Wow.
You heard the post-show, pre-show yesterday, eh?
Oh, yes, I did. I listen to y'all shows every day.
That was a big topic in the post show yesterday. Hillary shows up in a new fancy car, and we're like, what? And then we find out she's spending all her money on her car, and she's still living in a tiny apartment. And we're like, Hillary, you're putting your money in the wrong place. Oh, to be young
right,
in 20.
You got a priority straight.
26. Well, I appreciate that. Anything else you'd like to say? I like this. I like this call. Go ahead.
I just want to give a shout out to my mom. Today is her birthday. She turns 51. So
hey,
happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Happy
birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
There we go. Well, all right, Austin. Anything else? This is your shot.
you don't want to tell me that because I will be on the phone with you for hours.
Then we'd have a full 5-hour podcast. That
there
would
you
be
go.
The goal.
We would, and I wouldn't have nothing to complain
and then
about.
Then you would call and be like, I got nothing to say. Too bad. All right. Well, hey, what do you do for a living, bud?
I work at LCI, Leopard's Components. We build bus windows and trailer windows and things like that.
Well, I hope you have a good day at work, man. That's cool. I appreciate you calling.
Oh, I'm actually off today. We're hitting our slow season.
I can't win with this. So,
yeah,
dude. It's slow season for windows?
Yeah, what's fast season?
Yeah, you wouldn't believe it, but yeah.
You got kids with you?
Yeah, my youngest.
Is how old?
He is 18 months, and my oldest will be 5 next month.
All right. Wow. Well, listen, we can do this for hours, I feel. We got to do the dance party, though. Do you like the dance party?
I don't really get to listen to the dance party because I'm usually at work, and I only get the chance to listen to the podcast.
Well, today you get to hear it.
Right now, you're literally on with us. Yes.
Yeah, the dance party's next, so don't move because it's fun.
Well, and it doesn't make the podcast.
Oh, don't worry, I'm not.
Yeah, and it won't make the podcast because...
Yeah.
It's music, and we can't put music on the podcast. So don't call us Monday being like, I want to come.
I'm working at home. I'm just listening to the radio.
All right. I have no idea what he said.
Okay.
All right. Hey, listen, Austin, call us anytime, bud. Austin, bus window Austin.
Yeah.
Call
us
anytime.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. See you, bud. Bobby Bones Show. I'm going to go over and talk to Ryan in Indiana. Ryan, what's happening?
Oh, not much. How's it going?
Pretty good, man. What you want to know?
Hey, you kind of an inspirational guy, and you all the stuff that you do, you know, Dancing with the Stars, your radio, podcast, you know, country music shows. Where do you draw all of your inner energy from to accomplish all of these things you do?
I don't think that I'm a very energetic person.
No.
I think you don't meet me and go, that guy's a ball of energy. Because I got two modes. When I work, I'm way up, and when I'm not working, I got nothing to say. So I don't think I come across as super energetic in that sense. But I think I feel like I have so much to prove to myself. a lot of this is built in from being a kid and being told you can't do it because of where you grew up or how you grew up. And so I just have a lot to prove. And I think more than energy, it's just something that I just have this this achiever syndrome where I must achieve all these things. And now I'm searching for fulfillment a little bit too. I was thinking last night, when I turn 40, I'm done.
Done with what?
Achievement. Fulfillment.
Okay.
That's next year.
No, you're
I know
not.
It's April. I'm out. I'm just going to relax, start a family. I'm going to CTFO.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Huh?
CTFO.
Yeah. Chill.
I have not heard that one.
I know. I don't think I made it up. But I don't know that it's energy. But for me, I just have a lot to prove. And I also want to prove to a lot of people out there, especially young people, that it kind of doesn't matter where you come from. I wasn't given anything. Never been given anything. And so it's, you know, not always where you start, but it's where you're looking. And it, just by making little small gains, you can make the big old journeys. So I don't know if that's a long answer saying that I'm not very energetic, but I feel like my talent is hard work. So
everybody writes their own story.
Yeah, man. And some stories are easier to write. Listen, I wish I grew up rich. I wish I grew up with, you know, a normal type family. And, you know, I wish I had all that stuff. I wish I had a family now, but I don't. So I'm dealing with what I got. And so, but I think a lot of that made me. I used to be really resentful of one, people that had advantage growing up, and really resentful of the fact that I didn't. But now I'm very appreciative for it because, you know, faulted and all, it has created what I am now. And the fact that I had a pretty rough growing up has made me so strong. Like, I don't care what it is. I'll walk through a wall if I need to. I think a lot of people out there listening probably have the same feeling that I do. You reach a point where you're just grateful for the struggle that you had because it has made who you are. So that I think that's why. There you go. There's the third book. I just did the audio style. Have at it. Consume it. There you go. How you feel about that answer?
Well, you know, I really like your answer. But I thought you would say something along the lines, buy my book.
Oh, no. You know, no. I don't talk about my book. People always call in and say, hey, I got your book. And I always appreciate when people read the book and they're inspired by it. But I kind of don't even think about it anymore because I'm kind of in a new chapter of my life, too. I mean, the first one was about my life and my story. The second one I wrote based on a TED Talk. And now I don't know what I'm going to write next. Kids book, probably. But I don't have any kids. Here's the thing, right? We did a great kids record, and I was like, I want to make music for kids because I wish I'd had something kind of cool. And my kids book's going to be, I want it to be a bit inspirational for kids that would have been like me looking for something to be inspired by. So, but I don't have any kids.
You have Stevenson's Tashira?
No, I know. But I'm always, when people go, you know, I'm doing it for my niece and my nephew. Even me, I'm always like, I don't know, maybe you should have. But, so that's kind of a weird thing for me. Because
they look up to you.
I have had book publishers go, let's write that kid's book. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do anything that I don't feel completely like dialed in and know what I'm doing. That'll probably be the next book if I do another book. But I was talking to a political consultant because I've had conversations. And they're like, hey, maybe you should run in 3 years. And so we're going through strengths and weaknesses of where I would be as a candidate. And the strengths are that I actually represent the people that I'm talking to and with. A lot of politicians, they're rich. They have no idea what people that struggle go through. Most politicians are rich and they have no idea. If you're listening, politicians have no idea what you're going through because most of them were born with a silver spoon in their mouth and they haven't had to have the struggle. That's why they can be politicians to begin with because they don't have to go to work at the mill or the office. And they're like, you have the story that you can talk with people, not at people. And I'm like, great. They're like, but here's what you don't have. A wife and kids, and that's weird. You're 39. They're like, you need to get married and have kids. So,
give me the bachelor.
Can you imagine the girls I'd be bringing into the governor's mansion?
I can't. What?
As many as go into your
what
house.
Girls?
So.
I know. Exactly. I got a cool house too, and I don't bring girls home. I know, but that would be cool though.
Bobby's at the governor's mansion with his Peloton.
Just wasting away. You know?
I'd be like, hey, you want to get out of here? Where are we going? Governor's mansion.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty cool, huh?
Yeah,
but I would never do it. Okay, hey, Ryan, this has been a good talk. I hope you feel like my answer has given you whatever you were looking for there.
Yeah, man, it definitely enlightened me, and I appreciate your time telling me the answer. So thank you very much.
All
I
right,
appreciate
man.
It.
Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too.
See you, bud. I'm going to tell you what really chaps my hide.
Mm-hmm. What?
This guy that act like he was a hero in El Paso during that shooting at the Walmart? Did you see the story? A guy who was set to receive an award from the White House for his heroism during the mass shooting in El Paso made it up.
Oh, no.
He didn't actually distract the shooter like he claimed. And when he went to the White House on Monday to get his commendation, he was detained by the Secret Service because he had an outstanding warrant.
Oh.
I wonder if the whole time, that because he knows he lied, I wonder if the whole time he's going, hope they don't look at that tape. Hope they don't look at that tape. Because they looked at the tape.
Oh, and they never saw him?
Mm-mm. Well, I think he was there, but he didn't, like, throw bottles at him.
Whatever he said he did.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
A 50-year-old guy named Chris Grant was supposed to be at the White House. He was shot during the El Paso massacre because he said he threw bottles to distract the shooter and to keep him from shooting others. Turns out he wasn't true. He was shot, but the El Paso police reviewed the surveillance footage, and Chris didn't do anything heroic.
Oh, man. That's such a bummer.
Yeah.
Taken away from, like, real heroes, you know?
Just, then it just the false valor of...
Right.
It's skeezy. I don't think that's illegal what he did, but he's always going to be embarrassed by that if he's got...
And he went all the way to the White House, and then he got detained.
I wonder, too, if there's a point when he's going, yeah, but did that, and it starts to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's like, oh, I can't back out now. I'd love to not be able to be a part of this.
Right.
Like, maybe he just said it to a local news station, not really chasing the big picture, and all of a sudden, it kept going, let's elevate the hero.
Well, that's when you get the flu, and you don't go to the White House. I'm sick.
You know, I never cough when I get the flu.
Whatever. I'm just saying.
I get a cold.
I'm just saying.
You went too far, Amy.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You went too far there.
Okay. I don't know if he can come up with something. Ebola.
Yeah, you probably cough, but then you're done.
Okay.
A woman left with her mouth stuck open after laughing too hard.
What? Her jaw like...
A woman recently had to have her jaw set back in place by a doctor after she dislocated it by laughing too loudly.
Was she a Raging Idiots or what?
She was at a Raging Idiots concert. Tonight, Oklahoma City, tomorrow, Little Rock. Thank you, Amy.
Yeah, shout out.
Thank you.
No prob.
A doctor was on a train when he heard an urgent appeal for medical assistance. He rushed to help and found a female passenger who had her mouth open and was drooling profusely. And she was like, and he was like, your blood pressure is normal. You're not having a stroke. It was after speaking with other people that she was laughing so hard her jaw locked and couldn't close it.
And I have to know what was so funny.
I know. I'm surprised that hadn't happened to you here. See, right there. We could have done it again right there.
Yeah.
What's it like to have a job every day where you come in and just laugh?
Painful. We don't laugh all the time.
I mean, give a lot of time,
but
though.
I'm pretty grateful for it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty awesome because I've had other jobs where it's like, you know, no laughter and just paperwork and computer and sales. So, yeah, I'll take this.
When you were selling granite,
yes.
Were you laughing all day?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know that I laughed really at all.
Spilled coffee forces a plane to divert because they spilled it into the pilot, the little buttons.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I don't want to know. If I'm on that flight, I don't need to know. Just say someone's got a peanut allergy because I don't need to know that there's smoke coming out of the cabin because someone spilled coffee. Should they even have coffee up there?
Yes.
They
need to have it in a spill-proof cup. But yes, pilots should be able to caffeinate.
The pilot's auto control panel started melting and there was smoke in the cockpit because they spilled the coffee in there.
Yeah, that's not good.
The pilots had to use oxygen masks.
Whoa.
The drinks were given in cups without lids.
Ah, see.
Which was normal.
Oh, well, not anymore.
The main pilot put the coffee on his tray table, but the cup was later knocked over. You know, because we've spilled cups. You guys have spilled water or stuff in this studio. And as soon as you knock, by you guys, I mean Amy. Amy has spilled water numerous times.
An entire board.
Yes, all over the equipment. Yeah, and she goes, as soon as she spilled it, she goes, oh, no. Imagine doing that in the air.
I know. You have all these lives.
And your own. Like, if you do that in here, you're not going to die.
Right.
I'm going to get in trouble, but you're not going to die. Because they're going to go, Bobby, why'd you let people drink in the studio? But you do it.
I know. That's going to be scary. But, I mean, you can, I don't know. I don't know what all the buttons do, but hopefully they can take over and fly it manually and not, they don't need the buttons, but they probably need the buttons.
Yes, Bobby Bones. What a nice article written about us in our new studio in the whole radio world, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because we do things a little weird and a lot of times people don't take to us. But they're like, hey, Everything's visual now. I think you'll see a lot of studios start to build their studios like us. So I got to commend like a company because I drew this whole thing out on a piece of paper. It was like, this is what I want it to look like. And they built the whole thing just as how I requested, which was very nice of them. And they invested money in it. But it's always good to see people write nice things about the show because they rarely do. We're so different than other shows. Mostly people just like, that show's never going to work. That's never going to work. Because if we work, that means that they don't work. It doesn't have to be like that. Don't get me started.
Okay.
You didn't get me started, and I've started. That's the problem. Why don't we do Flashback Friday here on the Bobby Bone Show? Hit me up.
Flashback Friday!
The biggest country song on this day in 2006 was Leave the Pieces from the Wreckers. This is a good one here.
And it's all right, yeah, I'll be fine. Don't worry about this heart of mine. Just take your love and hit the road.
Yeah, we never got to really experience the Wreckers. I got to experience Michelle Branch.
Yeah.
Because I was over doing pop. And I got to meet her, and she was awesome. I was a big fan, but she left pop and came over and did the Wreckers. And I haven't seen her, heard from her since. So that was 2006. Where were you in 2006?
I just had joined the show. That was my first year.
Mm. Was it?
Mm-hmm. 2006. I also got married that year. Big year for me.
Dang.
Mm-hmm.
In order, show, then marriage, right?
Yes.
Yeah. 1, 2?
Show was in June, marriage was in December.
No, I mean like in rankings on your life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The biggest pop song in 2006 on this day was Justin Timberlake's Sexy Back.
I'm bringing sexy back.
Yeah.
The motherfuckers don't know how to act.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The biggest thing in pop culture, John Mayer releases his third studio album, Continuum. Oh, man. This is my favorite album of all time.
Very special.
Yeah. On a very special episode of Flashback Friday, we talk about John Mayer, Continuum. Songs like Gravity, which is...
Gravity.
Come on.
It's working against me.
Slow Dancing in a Burning Room.
Yeah.
These are not even singles or classics. Turn that up.
And you can see it too. We're going down. And you know that we're told.
And my favorite song of all time, Stop This Train.
Stop this train. I wanna get off and go home again.
It never reached number one. But it did win a Grammy for Best Pop Vocal Album, and all that happened in 2006. So there it is.
Jams.
Those were jams. I see Post Malone as a doomsday prepper.
Oh, really? That's funny.
He bought a massive compound in northern Utah worth about $3 million. It's way out of the way. He's building a bomb shelter. He's currently living out there. He's been just out there doing his thing for about a year or so. And so it's right outside Salt Lake City. 7 acres. Views of canyons, mountains, and lakes, which is what he wants around him in case there's a survival-type situation. He also has 30 bunk beds for his friends to crash if they need to escape.
That's
from
nice.
Either normal life or the apocalypse. I would be so good at surviving if the world was ending.
I know. I can't wait for you to build a compound.
I don't want to build a compound. I just want to go out in the world and survive.
No.
Like, I'm like Rick Grimes of Walking Dead. I would lead my troop. I'm the right mix.
Okay.
Brains and brawn. I'll be out there. I take no prisoners either. Either join the group or time to go. It's end of the world, baby. God, a little bit of me wishes that would happen.
No.
Man, that'd be crazy.
That seems horrible.
What's up?
To have to be in that situation.
The world's ending and everyone's surviving and we're back to tribal.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
No, I'd rather just go to Target and hang out.
I love those shows. I love the shows where the world is ending and everyone's got to survive.
I mean, I like the show. I like watching it, but a little bit of me doesn't want it to happen to me.
I start up my whole new, like, government regime.
Oh, wow.
What was that one show?
Yeah.
It was hot for a minute,
yeah,
and then
what
it
was
just
it called?
Went away. Revolution.
Revolution.
Oh, that was a good one.
Something,
I
yes.
I loved that one.
And they had, like, their own... America, they had to do. Oh,
that's a good one. I'd like to have my own America. I'd like to start it. I'd like to be the George Washington of Bobby Erica. Yeah.
Where do you live, Bobby Erica?
Okay. On Monday's show, Lauren Elena will be on because she will be on Dancing with the Stars Monday night. So we'll talk to Lauren Elena on Monday. I'll actually be in LA Monday night. I'll be here Monday, but Monday night I'm going to go watch the first episode. I think they're going to do like a little in-show interview with me. I got to figure out what my gag is.
Yeah, I mean, you're the returning champ.
Yeah, do I go and, you know, have a little dancing costume on under my clothes, be like, I'm ready to go in anytime if there's an injury. Call me in.
Yeah.
Kind of funny.
I don't know. I got to think about it. Maybe I just go and do it straight because everyone's going to expect me to have a gag.
Oh.
You know? They think I'm going to zig, I zag.
Check. Bobby Bones
Show. Hey, today's a big day in country music. Let's do On This Day. Here we go.
The Bobby Bones Show.
On This Day in
Country Music.
Willie Nelson was number one on the country charts with You're Always On My Mind.
Always on my mind.
So good.
Yeah. The song also was number five on the pop chart. It was the biggest country hit in 1982. Now, Wayne Carson wrote this song in 10 minutes at his kitchen table. He completed it in studio with the help of Johnny Christopher and Mark James, right? So Willie didn't write this, which, by the way, Willie Nelson came to town mostly as a songwriter. So that just shows you how great the song was to him, that he cut another song that he didn't write. So here you go. You ready? It was originally recorded by Brenda Lee in 1971. Here you go. Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
To hear that someone else had cut it and then Willie didn't write it. The song won 3 Grammys, Song of the Year, Best Male Country Vocal Performance, and Best Country Song. The album Always on My Mind was the number one country album of the year, too, 1982. There you go. And that is On This Day in Country Music. Boom.
That was
On This Day in Country Music.
Amy, what's going on today?
Well, I picked my dad up at the airport my dad and my sister, she's flying him here, hopefully. They board that flight out of Austin at 2 p.m.
Yeah.
Then I'll pick them up at like 4, and then he will be a resident of Nashville. So that's my weekend.
Are you going to move him into his new apartment this weekend?
Yeah, we'll head straight to the apartment, and it's all should be totally ready. I'm going to work on it a little bit more after the show. And so when he walks in, it should be totally set up, furnished, ready to go so that he feels comfortable right away. That's the goal. So, yeah, he'll walk into his new place and officially live here. So I feel like I'm going to be over there all day, every day for several days till he gets situated.
Yep. You excited?
I am excited. I'm nervous, like just hoping it doesn't cause any regression sometimes, you know, when he's been going through this whole journey for the last year and a half and I think, or year, a little over a year, and anytime there's a big change, sometimes he regresses. So I'm worried about that. Just that his cognitively, he can handle it and we're good to go.
Well, we're rooting for you.
Thank you.
It's cool for the kids.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. I think for everybody. I think he's going to be better for it too, especially since I'm in Nashville now. My sister's in Colorado. Like, he needs to be near one of us. And so, lucky me. What about you?
Well, Eddie and I are heading to Oklahoma City in a few minutes. We're going to go. We have a show in Oklahoma City tonight. For their 25th birthday, the Raging Idiots doing a comedy show. And then we're in Little Rock recording our record tomorrow night.
So fun.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this weekend.
Y'all, I could probably get you a gig at my dad's new place.
Yeah.
Oh.
Old folks home.
And y'all could sing.
And Papaw.
Yeah. What is it?
The new one?
Idiot Papaw.
Idiot Papaw. Mm-hmm.
We played that earlier today. Uh-huh. Yeah. People going crazy over it.
Oh, yeah, nuts.
Y'all could play there. Mm-hmm. That would be so fun.
They boo us.
Whatever. I mean.
On Sunday, I'm interviewing Ken Burns.
That's amazing.
From the big documentary that comes out.
That'll be fun.
So I'm pretty excited about that. So, yeah, I got 2 shows, a Ken Burns interview. For me, this is all fun, but it's all work, too.
Yeah.
So I don't really have anything that's not work. On Monday, I go to Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And I go and do the premiere.
What are you going to do? You know? What are they going to have you do?
I'm going to sit and then probably do an interview at some point.
You're not dancing at all?
No. Or am I? No. I'm going to go watch Lauren and cheer and... And yeah, it's good. And Lauren will be on Monday too. We'll have Lauren and Elena on Monday. That's the deal. Appreciate you guys. We'll see you. Have a great weekend. I have a new podcast up with Jim Beavers where he talks about riding with Taylor Swift when she was 14 years old. He's written Drink a Beer, Watching Airplanes, 5150 from Dierks Bentley, Red Solo Cup. It's a search Bobbycast and check out the newest one with Jim Beavers. All right. That's a wrap. See you on Monday. Bye, everybody.
Yeah. The Bobby Bones Show.